Before I even flick the screen, I just want to echo something, and I just want you to really open your hearts and let this resonate in your spirits this morning. I started a teaching last week called Wisdom, the Principal Thing. I'm going to conclude that today. And I said to you last week, if there is anything that is needed in the life of the believer today more than anything else, is the wisdom of God. Not the wisdom of men, and you're going to see that today. Not the wisdom of the world, you're going to see why today. But the wisdom of God. Too many a time, people are making their own decisions without getting or hearing from God. And also, what happens is sometimes, and this is the warning, the Lord spoke into my heart this week, early this week actually, and throughout the whole week it's been there, and this is why I'm preluding what I'm saying now before I get into the message. Please do not take offense at anything you hear from this pulpit when Pastor David is behind it. I do not stand behind it. I've heard nothing, by the way. I'm just echoing what the Lord has said to me. Be careful, folks, that you do not take offense at truth. Sometimes truth will present itself and it challenges us. And the reason for that is because God wants us to change. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because if there's no change, there's no growth. If there's no change, there's no progress. So your best response, really, is to hear God's word and receive it into your hearts. Do not get defensive when you hear truth. Do not build up a wall inside to let that truth not penetrate, because you'll be only doing yourself harm and doing yourself damage. So I'm just doing what the Lord, I believe, led in my heart to say before I go into this. When sometimes things are said and it's not done or said from a malicious, I could never do that, from a malicious perspective, that's demonic. I go as strong as to say that. Anybody that uses the pulpit to do his or own way or thing, that is not heavenly, that is not godly, that is not right, that is not good. Can I get a loud amen? Amen. Okay? And so it's demonic. And that's how strongly I feel about that. But at the same time, when truth is presented, as it will do today, as in every week, we stand behind it. We give nothing but the unadulterated word of God. So, let me go into this, because I believe that God wants to break down some walls today. I believe that God wants to bring change into our hearts and into our lives. We've just gone through 2 weeks of fasting and prayer. And the fasting and prayer, by the way, it will continue throughout this year. Okay, we fast every last Thursday of the month, and we meet here. But you're here today in the notices. I won't waste time on that. We can't do that today, this week, because of the building's being used. But we will fast and pray and meet on Zoom. Okay, and we're still maintaining the same thing, that we're fasting and praying for every hindrance that prevents us, prevents God from working through us to be removed. And those hindrances are external as well as internal. They're not just outside forces. Because sometimes our attitude can be wrong. Our approach can be wrong. Self-centeredness can be on the inside. And we don't even see it at times. And this is why God's word is so beautiful. And it's good to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and do what he says that we should do. So let's go into this. Wisdom, the principal thing. Last week I read to you Proverbs 4, some verses from Proverbs 4. Today I'm going to read to you Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 to 6. It says this: does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city and the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and make my voice, and lift my voice to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. And that's the God that we serve. He opens his mouth, and from him comes wisdom. James chapter 2, verse 6 says, the Lord gives wisdom. And the verse continues by saying, from his mouth comes understanding. So God gives wisdom, God gives understanding. We saw last week that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, they all work together. All right? And on the screen now is a reminder why we need to fast, or we need to pray continuously and ask God for wisdom. Because if we're going to remove every obstacle, If we're going to remove every hindrance, then we need the wisdom of God. Can I get a loud amen, church? We need the wisdom of God. All right, so that's what we're doing. Now, five questions we said that we're answering in this series, which is ending today. And the five questions is, what is wisdom? We dealt with that last week. How do I get it? How does it work? Enemies of wisdom, benefits of operating in wisdom. So last week we said, well, what is it? And we looked at what wisdom is. I said there are about eight Hebrew words, and we looked at two Greek words for wisdom. Sophia and phronesis, for memory, are the two words. And we looked at them in detail. And we looked at different definitions as well of the word wisdom. But then I came up with this one, and I used this one, a simplified version or definition of wisdom, so that we can have a clarity and we're together on the same page. And I used this throughout the teaching last week. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge correctly for right purpose, for the right purpose to get the right results. And let me reiterate that that can only come from God. We're not talking about man's wisdom here, okay? We're talking about the wisdom of God. All right, we also looked at the second question, how do I get it? And we looked at various different ways in which we can get it, but we saw the primary way of getting wisdom is by asking. By asking. And we saw lots of scriptures last week about asking for wisdom, because God wants to give wisdom. But then we also saw in Jeremiah 33 verse 3, where God said, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. So God is inviting us, and we saw that through Proverbs 8 just now. God is inviting his people, okay, to get his wisdom. His wisdom. His wisdom. Okay? Call to me, he said, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. And some of the things that he will show you, things that you don't even know. And this is another reason why we need to lean on the Lord and to call upon him. Alright, so I flashed this screen up as well. I just thought I'd do it again this week. Satan aims to silence you by keeping you from asking questions. And you must never allow that to happen. So whenever you have the opportunity in whatever sphere, whatever field, wherever you are, when you have the opportunity to ask questions, especially of the Lord, you ask it. You're going through life, you have difficulties, you have elders and pastors here, okay, that are led by the Lord. And God will sometimes drop, you know how many times I'm talking to people and I don't know what to say, and while people are talking to me, I'm saying, Lord, you know what I'm praying? Lord, give me the wisdom that I need to give the correct answer for this situation. And I'm praying, and you know how many times the Lord drops that in my spirit, but that's the way it should be for all of us, really. And God will drop wisdom in your heart for whoever he places across your path. This week, next month, next year, if the Lord tarries, you have the wisdom of God. And that's good news. Amen. You have the wisdom of God, and that's good news. Amen. You don't sound sure. Don't let the devil silence you from asking the questions, okay? Do not do that. All right, so the third question we looked at was, how does it work? And again, we looked at various things, but I showed you something very interesting. I showed you that not only does it work in the daytime, there are two seasons, daytime and nighttime. And I showed you some things and a load of scriptures again, how God speaks at night and whom he speaks at night to. And we said that at nighttime, God can speak to you when you're awake but doing nothing. When you're lying down in your bed just relaxing, God can speak. But he also can speak while you're awake at nighttime, lying down in your bed, but meditating. And he can also speak when you're lying down in your bed at nighttime, sleeping. In your sleep, God can speak. And we looked at Solomon. And Solomon wasn't the only one. But we looked at Solomon where in a dream, God spoke to him and said to him, ask of me what you want, Solomon. In a dream while he was sleeping, ask me and I will give it to you. And we looked at what Solomon's response, we looked at what happened and what was said. And so today we're going to continue now. We're going to look at the enemies of wisdom. And it's very important for us to know what the enemies are. If God is providing something for his people, there is the counteract. that will also be provided from a wrong source to prevent God's people walking in it. So we're going to look at some of the, this is not comprehensive. I haven't got the time for that. But these are some of the enemies of wisdom. Number one, the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world. That's an enemy of God's wisdom. Wisdom of the world. Again, church, this is why you've got to be careful who you're taking counsel from. Because if you're listening to the wrong source, you're going to get the wrong advice. And the wrong advice that you're getting may not line up with the will of God for your life. And you may just be following something because, you know what, in that moment, in that time, it feels right. And if we're going to base it on feelings, then we're going to get ourselves into trouble. No, we base it on God's word. So the wisdom of the world is an enemy. 1 Corinthians 1:20. Where is the wise? Question asked. Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Listen to that. God has made foolish the wisdom of the world. If God has made it foolish, why do we want it? Seriously, why do we want it? Why are we concerning ourselves about the wisdom of, about man's opinion or what man says? We're ignoring what God says, what His Word says. Why are we paying so much attention to what God can do in our, little attention to what God can do in our lives, more attention to what people think should happen in your life, and not pay attention to the wisdom of God, what God wants to do through your life? No. The wisdom of the world is an enemy of the cross. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 25. Let's have a look and see what that says. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now listen to that verse. Please don't misinterpret this verse. This verse is not saying God is foolish. But listen to what it's saying. If He was, then the foolishness of God is stronger than men. That's if, you know, it's just bringing across the point that, you know, God is wiser than men. As a matter of fact, he says that. God is wiser than men. Okay? The foolishness of God is wider than the best of men. Best that men can bring. The wisdom of this world has nothing to offer that any true believer would want to pursue, would want to seek for your life. Let's look at one more verse. James chapter 3. James chapter 3 verse 13 to 15. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conducts that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Then he goes on to say this. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. So there is a wisdom out there in the world that presents itself as good, presents itself as right, presents itself as the correct thing to do. But the warning is coming to us sternly from God's word. Be careful of this. Because if it's not descending from above, then it's coming from another source. And it's saying that the wisdom, this wisdom, is earthly, sensual, and demonic. And so the wisdom of the world, we do not want it, we should not have it, we should not embrace it at all in our lives. But God wants us to seek Him, to ask of Him, to call upon Him, and He will give us the wisdom that we need. I mean, it's simple. It really is. But you know what you're going to have to do, folks? You're going to have to discipline yourself to shut. Remember last week I spoke about noise? I asked you the question last week for the definition of noise. I'm going to ask you again. What is the definition of noise?
Unwanted sound.
The unwanted sound. That's the first part. Who remembers the last part? Sorry, say that. Yeah, she's getting part of it. Okay, noise is unwanted sound. Any random fluctuation of data that hinders the perception of a signal, okay, is noise. So anything that comes against the grain of God's word, God says, no, it's not good for you to have an unsafe boyfriend, unsafe girlfriend. And then you hear fluctuations. You hear data, you hear signals, you hear voices, you hear people saying, oh, well, this person's doing that, that person's doing that, this person is doing that. No, it's okay, because God understands we live in a changing world. The Bible's outdated. Because believe it or not, those voices are out there saying those things. Then you know that that is noise. It's unwanted sound. Should be to our spirits. Because it comes against what? Any random fluctuation of data that hinders the perception of a signal. It's coming against the signal of God's word. What God is saying is right. The world is saying something else is right. Are you with me?
Yeah.
All right. So, again, that's all that is the wisdom of the world. So much more I could say about this. Look at this in the middle of the verse. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart. And you know how you can know if you have self-seeking, if you make it, you're going through stuff, but you're making it all about you. Well, I feel. Well, I want. Well, I know. Well, I think. I. Where's God in the midst of this? Where are you allowing God to work in the midst of this, church? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Hang on a minute. It's not all about me. Because my actions, my words have repercussions and they have effects on other people as well, and the others around me. So I can't make it all about me. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, don't boast and lie against the truth. Don't do that, because that's what you're doing. You're ignoring the truth and you're boasting about what you want. Well, no, don't do that. Because that kind of wisdom is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Let's look at number two. Another enemy of wisdom. Fatigue. Wow. Fatigue. Now, I've put the definition up there so that, again, we understand what fatigue is. We're on the same page. Right? Fatigue is extreme. And listen to this definition. Extreme mental tiredness resulting from physical exertion, illness, or stress. So what is fatigue? Fatigue is extreme mental tiredness. Stop there. Extreme mental tiredness. What did God tell us that we need to put in our lives last week? We need to lie down and we need to rest. What did I say to you, church? That we need to go to bed early. And not stay up, because work never ends. Fatigue is an enemy to wisdom. Because when this comes in now your mindset is everywhere else and somewhere else. Where now you can't think right. You can't function right. And now you've gone back, perhaps, to things and to sources that the Lord delivered you from. Because of the extreme mental pressure. No, you know what you're not doing? You're not trusting God. God wants you to trust Him. Rest in what He is saying about the matter. Why? Because He has your best interest at heart. He loves you. He has a plan for you. And He wants to see this plan come to full fruition in your life. Can I get a loud amen? No, can I get a loud amen? No, can I get a loud amen? Is that the loudest you can do? Can I get a loud amen? I mean, if you agree with it, if you don't, it's okay. But it's not really. But, you know, because it's God's word, man. It's our fact. Fatigue, extreme mental tiredness. But look what it results from. So that's what fatigue is. You know, mental, extreme mental tiredness. Indicating that you're not giving your mind enough rest. Okay? From physical exertion. Be careful. Especially those of you with your jobs that you have physical work that you need to do. Yeah, you need to do your work. But make sure you put into place the rest that you need. That's wisdom. Okay? Extreme mental tiredness can come from physical exertion, but it can also come from illness when you're sick. Because when you're sick, you can't function well. When you're ill, you're not your normal self, because your body now is under attack. And so stress, extreme mental tiredness can come right in, because you know, if you're not well, it affects every part of your being, including your spiritual. Alright, so illness or stress. How many people remember that teaching I gave on stress when I gave that example that time? With the plank. You remember it?
Yeah.
You remember what I said? No, you don't. Alright, do you remember what I said stress was? Alright, okay. Stress. Alright, this is one of the things that I said. I said to you, when the external force is greater than the internal strength, a fracture occurs. And that's what happened when I placed that board here and I put weights on it. The weights of the world. Financial stress. Family relationships. You know, children. Bills. And we put it all on that board. And what happens was the three boards that we put it on, it didn't break. Because the three boards together formed a bigger unit of strength to handle that. This is why we need to share and fellowship and pray with one another. Because we support one another. And it's like having layer on top of layer on top of layer so that that board is stronger. But you remember what happened when I took away those two boards and there was just that one board and all the same weights placed on it. What happened? It broke. Why? Because the external pressure placed on that board was greater than the internal strength. And let me just say this before I move on. I also said to you that one of the ways in which you can prevent stress, it's not just by sharing, thank God for that, not just by praying and people praying for you, and thank God for that, that's one of the ways. But also, if that board was soaked in the right material, that board would become strong. And its internal makeup would change to become stronger. And this is a practical thing that I looked up on the internet and found. You can make wood stronger by soaking it in the right material. Listen, you can become stronger by soaking in the presence of God, no matter what you're going through. So really, we have an answer. We have no excuse. Because God has given us each other, and that's why fellowship with like-minded people is important. That's why church is important. Church is not an optional extra. It is important. I can say this after being a Christian now for 40 odd years. 40 odd years, you know, and I can say this, Pastor Trevor, Pastor Joy as well, 40 odd years, all of us, of being Christians, we know this. This is a pattern that we have experienced. You know, we need God, and when we get into the presence of God, we know, because God has kept us, sustained us, and we can look back on our experiences and see a lot of good that God has done when we make the right decision. So folks, avoid fatigue. Let me give you some scriptures, okay, in regards to fatigue, so that you'll have the word of God before you as well. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Remember now, fatigue comes because of extreme what?
Pressure.
Well, I just say fatigue comes with... Fatigue is what? Extreme... You're letting me down, man. Sorry? Thank you. Extreme mental tiredness. I know, the human body works. It happens to all of us. Sometimes we see something and then next minute it can go. And that's why we have to study and keep on looking over the Word of God. Yeah, so the opposite of that now. God doesn't want us to have an extreme, a mind with extreme mental pressure, extreme tiredness. He doesn't want us fatigued, but He wants us to have a sound mind. That's what He wants. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says that you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Folks, no matter what you're going through, keep your mind stayed on God. Keep your mind stayed on the Lord if you want to have perfect peace. No matter what the storm is, no matter what the things brewing outside, no matter how bad it looks, you keep your mind on the Lord. And folks, please, 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 I'm begging you this morning, use wisdom, make the right choices. Because sometimes when you're going through storms, you look and you say, oh my gosh, we'll never make it. But then if Christ is in the vessel, you can smile at the storm. And when you come through it, you say, oh my gosh, look, I didn't think I would make it, but thank God we did. And we did because of the wisdom of God that was with us. We did because of the choices that we made. Let's have a look at a couple more scriptures. And these ones have solutions as well. Fatigue. Hebrews 4 verse 10. There remains, therefore, look at that word, a rest for the people of God. Matthew 11:28. Jesus invited people. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Rest. So important. You need to add balance to your life. We all need to add balance to our lives, because if we don't, then we're going to be out of shape. We're going to be out of it. We're going to be making wrong decisions. We're going to be going places where we don't want to go. We're going to interrupt the flow of God's power in propelling us toward the vision and the purpose that He has created for us. And folks, we don't want to do that. So balance is the key to successful living. I've said this throughout all my life. And it's true. Number three, enemy of wisdom, pride. Pride. Again, I've defined it there so that you can understand what I'm talking about when I talk about pride. An exalted overestimation or deep pleasure in one's own position, possessions, or achievements. It's not feeling good about what you've achieved. You ought to be feeling good about what you... It's not about not celebrating the good that's happened. No, you ought to be doing that. But the key words here are an overestimation. It's an exalted overestimation. Where you now begin to feel, oh, look what I've done, look what I've accomplished, look who I am, and whatever else. No, 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 no. You've shifted the focus from God to you, and that's where the danger is. It's an exalted, I read it again, overestimation or deep pleasure in one's own position, position, possessions, and or achievements. But there is a warning from God's word, Proverbs 16:18. When pride comes, something else comes with it. Then comes shame. But with the humble, which is the antidote for pride, is wisdom. Interesting. Proverbs 13 verse 10, by pride comes nothing but strife. Wow. But with the well-advised is wisdom. You see, a prideful person will always want to do what they want to do, and they're going to do what I'm going to do. I don't care what you have to say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because I think. Pride, I is right there in the midst, in the mix. I. And that works against the counsel of God, the word of God. And it does nobody any good. And it creates strife. Now, because of your choices, now there's strife between me and whoever else. Or whatever else. Now there's strife. Now I've got to deal with not just me, but I've got to deal with what I've created because of pride. Let's have a look at another verse. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. I'll read it again. Sorry about that. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That's the way to deal with pride. When I look at my brother or my sister, I'm thinking they're better than me. Sometimes, I just say this, sometimes I look at individuals here in this church, and I see you in your future. I don't see you here and the now, but I see you in your future. You know, this is me, and I could be completely wrong, completely off, but, you know, sometimes I see folks here that are preaching God's word. I see folks here that are laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. And I'm not talking pastors and elders only. How many people know that you can do that? Haha, you better believe it. And so sometimes when I look, I see folks doing what they're not even doing now. It's just a matter of time, because God is going to release his power upon you, and he's going to work through you to turn things around in Jesus' name. To turn things around. You are a catalyst in the kingdom, church. You are continue to absorb his word and continue to focus on him, and make sure, I think I said this yesterday, when we come into church in 2024, we're going to change atmospheres. Because remember when I taught you on atmospheres, I said God does not need an atmosphere to work. Have we got it stuck up somewhere? But God, is it, what does it say, Lorna? Read that for me. Here we go. God does not need atmospheres to work. He can work no matter what the atmosphere is. But you know what? When we create the atmosphere, the right atmosphere, right, then he will come and he will work. And I think I've shared with you some scriptures on that as well. Praise and worship is just two of the ways in which we can create them. You want to see God's presence intensified? Come with a determination that no matter what, I'm going to praise God. Are you hearing me, church? I mean, don't just Let it be up here. Let it be an outward working in your life. And you'll see, come with that, attitude to worship Him. What's John 4:24 say? God is seeking worshippers. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. So when you praise Him, God inhabits it. It's a sweet-smelling savor, and He's sniffing it, and He's coming to it. He says, where is that coming from? I love that scent. And He finds it, and He comes right here at 50 Turnham Road. And sees a few people in this building. But the few people have a mind to praise Him and to worship Him. And then He shows up and does whatever He needs to do amongst us. Your future is a good one. In Jesus' name. Let's look at another scripture. James chapter 4 verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Notice with these verses now, I've given you the antidote to pride once again. Loneliness of mind. Submitting to God, which requires humility. As a matter of fact, there are other scriptures, and I'm not going there now, that you need to humble yourself. If you don't humble yourself under the Almighty God, hand of God, He can't use you. So we need to do that. There's so much more that can be said about that. If wherever we identify pride, when you're hiding things and you don't want to expose or be vulnerable because of something that you're struggling with in your life, that could be pride there. And God doesn't want you to do that. Again, that's why this beautiful setting that we call church, that God created and gave to Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. God, this is God's idea. Because here we can find help. Here we can have the resources. And here God's power can be demonstrated in our lives. And those walls can be broken down, no matter how big they are. All right. So number four, wisdom. Enemies of wisdom. And the fourth one, laziness. Laziness. Proverbs 13 verse 4, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. The soul of the diligent. What does that mean? The soul of those who have a steady, constant effort. You're slowly but constantly doing the right thing. You are praying. You're reading God's word. You're going to church. You're serving. You're believing God for great things. You don't see it yet, but you're diligently serving Him. You're diligently doing the right thing. The opposition may come. Obstacles may come. Trouble may come. But you're still showing yourself to be diligent before God and His kingdom and what He has set as priority over our lives. End result, you shall be made rich. And rich in every, not just financially, rich in every area of your life. And what we should be praying for is a richness of wisdom. We should be rich in wisdom because that's what God wants His people to be filled with. Proverbs 21:25. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to work. And you know what I've put in my notes here? Let me read what I've put in my notes. Let me read that verse again. The desire of the lazy man, listen to what it does. It kills him. He has desire, but guess what? He's still dead. Why? Because his hands refuse to work. So I put here, you know, I've always said desire plus discipline equals destiny. I've also put desire plus disobedience equals death. Desire plus disdain. We need to disdain God's word, treat it as nothing. Archer. That's only Pastor David giving his word again. You know what it's like. Desire plus disdain equals death. No. Desire plus discipline, because we're disciplined people, equals destiny. You see, you've got to prove and show yourself to God that through thick, through thin, through trouble, through when everything's going right, when everything's not going right, I'm still for you, Lord. And I'm still going to praise you. I'm still going to serve you. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to turn around. I'm still going to do, Lord, what you want me to do. Look at the fifth enemy. This is the last one, I think. Last enemy. There's so much more, but I'll just stop right here. Religion. Religion is an enemy of wisdom. Religion is man's quest to get to God. And we see that throughout the whole world. You look at the different religions in the world today, and you'll see that almost all of them believe in a God. And almost all of them have different ways in which they say, this is how you get to God. Religion is man's quest to God. Religion is man's effort to please God. Religion is man's way to get to heaven. Man, 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 man. What about what God says? What about what God says? As a matter of fact, God says, I didn't write it down, I didn't give it to you. That word religion, it comes from a root. One of the words that it comes from is, the word that it comes from is a Latin word called religio. And that word religio, it means to bind. And that's what religion does. It binds people, it binds men. It binds men to their way of getting to God. And that's not God's quest for man at all. That's not what God has for man. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is a way of death. Oh my gosh. So we've got to be careful what way we're choosing. Because you may be thinking that you're choosing the right way, but it's not. It may seem right to a man, but it's a way of death. So we've got to say, Lord, are my choices right? Or better still, Lord, what are you saying in this matter? What do you want me to do, Lord? What is your direction? What is your quest for me, Father? Because I cannot afford to gamble with my life or the life of others. Proverbs 21 verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eye. Listen to that. But the Lord weighs the hearts. See, God is looking straight past everything that goes on there and is looking right here. The Lord weighs the hearts. I'm going to close. And I'm going to close by just giving you some, please understand, this is some, it's not all, of the benefits of wisdom. I'm hoping that last week and this week you would have had a picture of the importance of wisdom in our lives. And let me just say this, folk. Listen. And I'm speaking from experience here. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Don't be afraid. Sometimes, when we believe something, we step out. And sometimes, folks, I have stepped out by doing certain things. Okay? Later to find out that actually, it wasn't the right thing to do. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Please, don't be afraid to make mistakes. But make sure, this is the warning that comes, this is what I've learned now through the years. Make sure that all my plans are submitted to God and I'm hearing from God in regards to especially very important decisions that I'm making in life. Because sometimes you can't afford to make a mistake. Sometimes you make mistakes and you know you can get over it or amend it, get around it, it heals itself and we get back on course. But there are some choices and decisions that we make where it's hard for us to do that. So, but don't be afraid. The only people who never make mistakes are people doing nothing. And you should never fit in that category. People doing nothing. Benefits of operating in wisdom. Well, wisdom is the master key that unlocks the vaults of heaven. Okay? That's what it is. You want financial blessing? You want increase? Well, get wisdom. It's the master key that unlocks the vaults of heaven. And the vaults of heaven is not just a financial one. It's provision on every single level of you and every single area of your life. Now, God is not going to always endow you with the whole thing one time, boom, and that's it. You know, you pray once and you pray twice, you pray maybe for 1 week, 1 month, and then you expect God to just... God doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. And somewhere, and I said this to you already this year, that along the line, we're going to be tested. Well, let me see what they're going to do when they don't get what they want immediately. Let me see what's going to happen. Are they going to give the wisdom of man or the wisdom of God? Are they going to turn to others, listen to others, or are they going to turn to me and listen to me? You're going to be tested. And depending on the result will depend upon whether or not or when you get your promotion and blessing. Let's have a look at some of these. I'll put there number one, Solomon, because we looked at Solomon last week and we saw how God asked Solomon in a dream, what do you want, Solomon? And Solomon replied, wisdom to lead your people. I'm paraphrasing that. Wisdom to lead your people. And so God said, because you didn't just ask for the lives of your enemy, because you didn't ask for riches and wealth and honor, because you didn't ask for other things, I'm going to give you what you asked for, wisdom to govern my people, and I'm going to also give you honor, riches, wealth, and everything else. But we see in number two that riches and honor come with wisdom. Proverbs 18 verse Proverbs 8 verse 18, Proverbs 3 verse 16, and Proverbs 4 verse 8. Riches and honor comes with wisdom. Wealth and full treasuries also come with wisdom. Proverbs 8 verse 21. Life and favor also comes with wisdom. Proverbs 8:35-4:13. And we also, I love this one down here, increased learning comes with wisdom. So a wise man and a wise woman, the Bible says there in Proverbs 1:5-2:5, that a wise man, a wise woman will increase in learning. Why? Because they've grabbed or they've turned to the right source, which is God, who will lead them and teach them in the area and arena of truth. All right, so number two. So that's number one. Wisdom unlocks the vaults of heaven. What else? What other benefits are there from operating in the kingdom? Well, wisdom brings mercy and good fruits. James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above, listen to the description of God's wisdom. It's pure, it's peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Number three, third benefit of operating in wisdom. Wisdom will increase or decrease your relationships. I said to you last week that when God begins to move in the life of a person, your relationships will either be solidified or severed. If it's a bad one, it will be severed because God wants you to cut off that relationship, not doing you any good. Or it will be strengthened because you're with the right people and the wisdom of God is there. And God wants you to surround yourself with the right people. Proverbs 3:32, for the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord. But his secret counsel is with the upright. Fourth benefit of operating in wisdom, your conversation reveals how much wisdom you actually possess. Sometimes just listening to people when they talk, you can see whether or not they actually have the wisdom of God. Just by listening. In a conversation, just an ordinary conversation, just listen. 1 Kings 24 says this, that now all the earth sought the presence of Solomon. Why? To hear his wisdom. Because God told him there was none that's going to be wise before him, or there will be none that's wiser than him who comes after him. To hear his wisdom, which God has put into his mouth. The wisdom of God is to be sought rather than money, wealth, riches. The wisdom of God. Get the wisdom of God and everything else will come in its time and in its season. All right, still on this one, your conversation reveals how much you possess, how much wisdom you possess. Proverbs 29:11, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Fifth benefit of operating in the kingdom, and it's stability. Wow, stability in our times. Isaiah 33 and verse 6. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. So what will be the stability of our times? Wisdom and knowledge. Where does it come from? It comes from God. Finally, just some final screenshots I'm going to put up here with God's Word. Most of them, God's Word. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding than silver. Proverbs 16, verse 16. And I just said that a while ago. It's better to get wisdom than money, than gold, than silver. Ecclesiastes 9:18. Wisdom, I like this one. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. But one sinner destroys much good. It only takes, one ungodly person to destroy a lot of good. All right? But wisdom is better than weapons of war. Listen to what the Message version says of this verse. Wisdom is better than warheads, but one hothead can ruin the good earth. That's all it takes, isn't it? One hot-headed person. Anybody come to mind? some leaders, isn't it? Yeah. Hot-headed leader, Hitler in the past. One hot-headed person can ruin the earth, the planet. And we got some today, I'm not going to call on it, we got some today that exists. And they get hot-headed, and pride and other things, and the demonic activities at work in their lives without them even realizing. As a matter of fact, some of those territories are demonically controlled from going way back to the Bible days. Until now. And when we look in the book of Revelation, we see that some of this will never be resolved until Jesus Christ himself comes to settle things once and for all. Let's have a look at some more. Luke 21:15, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. Wow. So there are times when God is going to put right there in your mouth words that when your enemies hear it, they can't resist it. Why? Because the word of wisdom from God. And they know it to be, wow, something else. Proverbs 15:31. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. You're not always right. Your decisions, your choices aren't always right. But if you will hear the rebukes of life coming from wise people, all right, you will abide among the wise. And the reciprocal is, if you don't hear the rebukes of life, you will abide among the foolish. Or you'll bring death or destruction upon yourself. Last scripture, Proverbs 4:7-8. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will honor you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. But let's look at this a little bit. Wisdom is the principal thing. That word principal means the foremost, the chief, the of utmost importance. It's the number one thing. The root word of the word principle is the word prince. A prince is first in line. Okay? Wisdom has to be first in line in our lives. The wisdom of God. Therefore, get it. And by the way, when you're busy there getting everything else in the whole world, busy working for money, working for career, working for this, working for that, working to build your regime. Hey, don't forget, in all of your getting, to get understanding. Comprehension of how knowledge is, it's clarity of knowledge, really, so that you can apply it correctly. Exalt her with wisdom. Lift her up in your life. Maybe you never thought about wisdom of God like this before, but God is saying that, the word of God is saying to us, exalt wisdom. Okay? And she will promote you. You want promotion? Exalt wisdom. And she will also bring you honor when you embrace her. 2024 is going to be a marked year of difference in our lives. And you know why that's going to happen? You know why that's going to happen? It's because the wisdom of God, you are going to seek it perhaps like never before. You're seeking the wisdom of God and you do that already. Good. I'm doing that. But I'm going to do it more. And I'm going to make sure that, you know, every decision I make, everything that I say, it's not to please man, but to please God. It's not coming from man, but it's coming from God. I'm God's son. You're God's children. And God has a good plan for your church. Don't let anything come to interrupt that. Shut down those voices that want to tell you or dictate to you otherwise. And you tell them, you open your mouth now and speak the wisdom of God so that they're stunned in their tracks. So that they, wow, I've never seen such boldness before. No, God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Listen, one man, one woman with God is a majority. A majority. You don't need crowds. Stop looking for the sympathy and the okay of the majority. What are you looking for that for? Go to God. Get His wisdom. Make sure your choices that you make this year are the ones that are going to propel you into the purposes of God and not drive you away into some kind of self-satisfaction. Because that would not be good. And for those of you that have already made choices and decisions in your life that you cannot reverse, God is with you. Whether you've made the right thing or not. Remember I said to you earlier, sometimes in the past, I have made choices and decisions that I see later on was not the right one. But here I am still standing. Here I am still standing before the Lord and able to hear from God and able to relay the things of God to God's people and to do what God has called me to. I'm fulfilling my purpose. But the devil will want to come and beat you up and say, see, look what you've done. See, look at this. See, look at that. See, look at that. And you know what you ought to be saying? Tell me what you ought to be saying. Get behind me. What else you ought to be saying? Come on, church, come talk to me. When the devil comes and accuses you, the accuser of the brain comes, what are you going to say? What are you going to do? Tell him he's a liar. What clue? Tell him what the word says. What does the word say? Yeah. Let me stop this.